there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. It's Monday, December the 28th. Great to be with you here as we kick off another week. Boy, you know what? I haven't spoken with you since Christmas, so let me wish you, as we're still in the Christmas season, it is entirely appropriate to say Merry Christmas, and I'm going to keep doing that. Look, this is, we as Christians want to remember one thing, the fact that Christ was born, the fact that the Word became flesh, it's a big deal. And it's not the type of event we really want to restrict to one day. That's why the church gives us an entire season where we're going to celebrate Christmas. You know, it begins on December the 25th, but it doesn't end till the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, which is a little less than 2 weeks from now. So Merry Christmas to you. I hope you had a great Christmas. It was a different one, wasn't it? I mean, I would imagine in your case, you aren't too much different than me and so many other people, that Christmas was different this year. But, I do hope it gave you a chance to reflect on the fact that God loved you so much that he sent his son into the world. And as we go forward for the remainder of this year and into the new year, I want to keep reminding you of that fact. And I think if we would learn to accept that, if we would really, it's the type of thing, you know, I think you have to meditate on or think about every day, especially when you feel alone, when you feel discouraged, when you feel like you don't have what it takes to deal with whatever you have to face in your life. It's important to remember that God loves you so much that he sent his son into the world. So Jesus, God made man, knew what it's like to suffer the way you and I suffer. Even he took it to the, his suffering was much greater than really any suffering that we're ever going to experience. But he knew all of the inconveniences and the difficulties that go along with being human, because he loves us so much that he wanted to experience that. So I think it's a good thing, not just in the Christmas season, but to think about that throughout the year, especially as we continue to strive to get closer to Christ. I mean, that's what I'm here for, to help you do that. Just because Advent's over does not mean we want to stop doing that. We really want to get started now. Now that we did some preliminary work during Advent to try to clean up some of the junk, to make some room in our lives for Jesus, now we want to build on that. And that's the cool thing about Advent. We are building on that foundation that we laid during the Advent season. But I missed you. It's been a long time since we were able to do the show. I really do hope you had a great Christmas. I thank you for your Christmas greetings. I thank you for the donations. I thank you for the prayers. And I hope you know that I'm praying for you as well. Today we commemorate the Feast of the Holy Innocents. Now these are the boys 2 years and older slain by Herod. And we're going to talk about that. That's going to be the theme of today's show. And this is based on something that came to me at Daily Mass today when I heard this gospel passage that was chosen for this particular feast. Something came to me and I said, I got to talk about this. And I wrote about it in my daily email reflection, because it's not typically what I thought of in the past when I heard about Herod doing this unimaginable act of slaying the innocent children, the innocent boys 2 years and older, in the hopes of eliminating Jesus, because that's exactly what he was trying to do. But I really believe that, as crazy as it might seem, there's a lesson in this for each of us. It's really easy to point to Herod and say, what a lowlife, what a loser, what a scum, how could he do something so horrible? But yet, I believe there's a message from the Lord for each of us today. So anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Hope you could stick with me for the entire 30 minutes of the program, and we'll talk more about that. Anyway, let's get right to prayer. Let's turn to our Father in heaven. Let's give him a little praise, little thanks, and let's ask him to guide my words and ask him also to open up our hearts, so that we're going to be receptive to hear the message that he has for us. And if you could, please join me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, I praise you. I bless you. I worship you. I give you thanks this day, Father, for your incredible, almighty power, for the fact that you created the entire universe out of nothing, for the fact that you created me out of nothing, that you continue to sustain our lives because you love us, So we acknowledge your power, we acknowledge your might, we acknowledge your omnipresence, you're everywhere at one time, which is a hard concept for us to understand. We also acknowledge your infinite love for us, Father. And with that in mind, we ask you to bless us and our family and our friends this day. Please help us as we strive to grow closer to you. Help us to be able to do that. Help us to never lose sight of your presence. Help us to focus on you and the fact that you are with us at all times and the fact that you can handle any problem that we ever send your way. Father, we pray for the grace to be able to appreciate everything that happens in our lives, even if it seems unpleasant, even if it is unpleasant. We pray that we can see things through your eyes a little bit, or at the very least that we can accept whatever happens, knowing that you love us and trust, even if we don't understand it, trust that you are doing what's best. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. Give me the words that you'd like me to speak on this show, and please open up all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. And Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for praying with me. Again, my name is Gary Zimek. You are listening to Following the Truth. It's good to be back in the saddle again as we ramp up for another week's worth of programs. And again, it's just such a blessing to be able to do this show with you. I am going to take New Year's Day off. I want to tell you that now, too. So, again, I don't take a lot of days off, but I took Christmas off. I'm going to take New Year's Day off, so there will not be a show this Friday. But then I'll be back again the January the 4th for another full week of programs. But I'm really appreciating the fact that you're hanging out with me, that we're able to spend this time together. And you know the deal by now, and maybe you don't. Maybe you're a first-time listener. The deal is I've got chairs around my table. There is always a chair for you here as we look at Scripture, as we open our Bibles, and as we let the Lord speak to us and give us practical advice on how to live our lives. This show is all about bringing you hope, the hope of Jesus Christ, and how he wants to be a part of your life. And we'll talk about that today, and I think you're going to be surprised. Maybe you read the email that I sent out today, but if you didn't, you may be surprised with where I'm going with today's reflection. I was surprised when it came to me, but I thought, yes, this is it. Because I don't know if you ever remember me saying this. I think I've said it before on the show. I probably said it a lot. That I believe that every time we open the Bible, or you know, we look at these mass readings, which are from the Bible, there should always be a part of the message directed to us, to me personally. And a lot of times we'll look at something like Herod slaying these innocent boys and think, like, what a horrible, horrible individual. This is so terrible. What a jerk. I can't imagine somebody being so horrible. But yes, there's horrible people in the world. And you know what happens? We neglect to apply the Lord's words to our own life. And I believe that since the Word of God is so personal and dynamic, there's always something. There's some application for us personally when we read Scripture. And if we don't see it, then I think we have to ask the Holy Spirit and look harder. Because if Scripture isn't speaking to me directly, all of Scripture, you know, not just the readings I like, but if all of Scripture, anytime I open the Bible, if I am not getting a personal message and finding a takeaway or a call to action from that message, in other words, God speaks to me through the Bible, and then he gives me something to do, and I make a resolution to do something. If that's not happening, then we are really missing the point. So I would recommend if you hear a reading and you think this doesn't apply to me, I'm not getting anything out of this, make sure you ask the Holy Spirit for help, and then keep reading it, because you are going to get a message somehow. God's going to give you a message. He's going to talk to you, and he's going to invite you to do something. That's what we should be doing from Scripture. So that's what I'm going to continue to try to do on this show, to help you through that, to share my thoughts. You can take them or leave them, but I think since I am asking the Holy Spirit for help, I think every now and then I give you some good advice. I would hope I always give you good advice, but nonetheless, it's such a blessing to be able to spend this time with you and to share Scripture with you, because you know why? It's good news. It's good news. Even when I have to give you some painful pieces of information, which I do from time to time, I like to give you the good news. But it's all good news. I could easily just open to those passages of Scripture that say, do not worry, God will take care of you. And I do that a lot. I've written books with those messages in them. But, you know, buried in those books as well are the tough messages. And that's what I always strive to do. That's why I ask the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's hard to say the things that I have to say on this show. But it's good news. Why? Because God's communicating with us through Scripture. And sometimes He's got to tell us things that we don't want to hear. Can I get an amen on that? All right. He does. And today is going to be no exception. All right, let's see what I got, if there's anything else I have to think of. If you have not yet signed up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. All you need to do is supply your email address and you're going to be all set. It is free of charge. It's not going to cost you anything. So if you're looking for some daily inspiration, a Bible verse, a reflection, very easy to read, takes a couple of minutes, if that, please sign up for Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled by going to followingthetruth.com. Also, I noticed that sales of my latest book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, sales are up today, which is a good thing. If you haven't yet picked up a copy of Let Go of Anger and Stress, the easiest way is to go to followingthetruth.com and just follow the link, and it'll take you right to Amazon, and it'll enable you to order the book right from there. And while you're at the website, you can check out all of my books, followingthetruth.com. Okay, so I mentioned at the start of this program that today the church celebrates the Feast of the Holy Innocents, and that these are the young boys, 2 years and younger, who were murdered by Herod because he was threatened. He was threatened by the prospect of another king. Herod was very insecure. And Herod would, as documented through several historical documents. I know there was a Jewish historian, Flavius Josephus, who wrote about Herod, and he was nasty. He was nasty. He had some of his children murdered. I don't know the full details, but he was a ruthless ruler. And a lot of Herod's ruthlessness came from his insecurity and his desire to control. He was a control freak to the max. And that might give you a hint of where I'm going with this reflection today. We're going to read the gospel, but that's what really touched me, this idea of Herod being a control freak and why that's a problem. But, you know, this continues the trend of some pretty eye-opening feasts and memorials that we celebrate after Christmas. Now, obviously, Christmas was December the 25th. It's a time of peace and joy, you know, feel good, a very positive, hopeful day. But the day after, December the 26th, I haven't been on the air since then, so I wasn't able to talk about it, was the feast of Saint Stephen, the first Christian martyr. The day after Christmas. I mean, you'd think we'd get a little time to bask in the peace and the joy from Christmas, but the church didn't do that. And the reason is, I mean, there could be a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is the church wants us to be aware that we as Christians are called to give up our life for Christ. He gave up his life for us, right? So we, if we're going to follow him to the max, are called to give up our lives for him. Probably not by being actual martyrs where we're murdered for our faith. I mean, that's going to happen to very few of us. I can't say none of us will ever undergo that, but it's rare. But yet every one of us as Christians, we are called to give up our lives for Christ, to put him first. So we do it in a figurative sense. If we live in a family, we take care of our family members. We take care of the needs of others to the best of our ability. We put others before ourselves. We show love to people. These are the ways that we give up our lives for Christ. We surrender. You've heard me say that before. We surrender to him. He becomes the Lord of our lives, Lord and Savior. So therefore, we give him control over all the areas of our lives. And that's part of the reason for that Advent cleanup. In order to welcome him in, we've got to make room for him. And a lot of times, we've crowded him out of our lives. There's areas that he's just not welcome. I mean, yeah, I'll go to church, Jesus, but you're not getting my money. My money's my money. I work hard for that. You know, we have that mentality sometimes. I'm still going to worry, Lord. I'm not going to turn control of my children over to you, or my spouse. Now, I'm not going there, because you might let something bad happen to them, and that's a struggle for all of us. But then if we are not welcoming him and acknowledging him as our Lord or our master, then we're not really following him or giving our lives or surrendering to him. And, you know, this is a lifelong process. It's not something that I've mastered. I haven't mastered it. And I don't expect you to master it. We are all on the journey. We are all a work in progress. And it's something we're going to be working on for the rest of our lives. The important thing is not that we are successful. And I really want you to know this. You shouldn't beat yourself up if you're not successful and there's areas that you struggle and you fail at surrendering certain aspects of your life to the Lord. What you should beat yourself up about is if you're not trying. So as long as you're trying, you're doing what he wants you to do. And yielding to the Holy Spirit is also important. And we're not expected to do any of this on our own. We're expected to say, come Holy Spirit, work in me, transform me into Jesus. And then we have to cooperate with the grace given to us through the Spirit and let that transformation take place. But that's not always an easy thing to do. Sometimes it's difficult because we have our free will. We can be stubborn. We lack trust. You know, we don't like to give up control. So it can be challenging, but it's the type of thing that we want to be working on. That's what Advent was about. And really, now that Advent's over and we've celebrated Christmas, it's time to continue building upon that foundation. So the church gives us that reminder with St. Stephen. And then yesterday would typically be the feast of St. John the evangelist and apostle, St. John. But because it fell on a Sunday, the Sunday preempted John. So typically on a normal year, you'd have the feast of St. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, the feast of St. John the evangelist, followed by today, we celebrate the feast of the Holy Innocents, these innocent children who were murdered by Herod, who, in a sense, maybe unwillingly or unknowingly is probably a more appropriate word, gave their lives to save Jesus, gave their lives for Jesus. And we celebrate them, we acknowledge them. And typically in years past, I have heard reflections about the evils of abortion, which no doubt, great message. It's unimaginable that in our civilized world that abortion is legal, the murder of the innocent unborn children, right? So definitely that's a message or a takeaway from this Feast of the Holy Innocents. The other message that sometimes is presented on this day is what happens when we take God out of society, when we have rulers who rule as dictators and who do not rule in a way that upholds the commandments. Another very good message. We got to get God back into our country, into our world. You can't crowd God out and not expect to have problems. So again, these are the typical messages that I've heard from this gospel today, dealing with Herod and the slaughter of the innocents. But when I was at Mass today and I heard this, something else came to me, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. And this really drives it home. This hit home to me, and I have a feeling it's going to hit home with you. And let me just read the gospel, and then we'll chat about it. It comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother. Flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." And Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. So here we have Joseph protecting Jesus by taking Jesus and his mother to Egypt, because he was warned in advance by God that Herod's trying to kill Jesus. Now here, you know, this isn't my point today, but this is a great reminder for us when it comes to playing our part to keep ourselves safe or to protect ourselves and our family. You know, it would be foolish for us to pray for good health and yet not do anything to eat the right foods. it would be foolish to spend our money crazily and yet pray for provision. You know, to buy things, to live beyond our means, and to say, all right, God, it's up to you to provide for me. Well, see, he gives us common sense, and he asks us to do what we can. And I talked about this early on in the pandemic when I was hearing some people say, well, if you're not going out, if you're afraid to go out and you're too scared or you're too concerned about COVID-19, then you have no faith. Well, that's not true. God gave me the common sense to take protection, to pray, to take precaution. And I think it's completely irresponsible to go out and just throw caution to the wind and just say, well, God's going to protect me. Well, God's going to protect you, but he gave you your common sense to do that. And I see both extremes. I see people afraid to do anything. And I see people taking chances that are putting their lives and others' lives in danger. Both of those positions are wrong, in my opinion, because they don't use the common sense that God gave us. Joseph was told to go somewhere else, to escape from her. Joseph wasn't being a coward. Joseph didn't have any a lack of faith. Joseph had a lot of faith because he believed what God told him to do. So I want to talk to you, especially if you're struggling with anxiety, whether it's COVID-related or anything else. Don't let anybody tell you the reason you're struggling with anxiety is because you have very weak faith. Yes, there are times when we have faith issues that cause us to worry needlessly. But I want you to remember something. As somebody who considers himself to be a recovering worrier, I have this tendency to be anxious, and I still struggle with this. There are times when we are afraid, when we shouldn't be, when we don't trust God. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have no faith or your faith is very weak. It means that you, like the rest of the world, are a work in progress. So yeah, there's times when we need to work on building up our faith. But don't let people beat you up and say you have no faith if you're afraid. Mary was afraid. Joseph was afraid. St. Paul was afraid. Abraham, Moses, they were afraid. It's in the Bible. The fact that you have fear doesn't necessarily mean you don't have faith. What we want to work on is to the point where our fear, whatever it is, leads us to greater faith. If I'm afraid and I turn to Jesus every time I'm afraid, I'm in good shape. And over time, that fear is going to decrease because you're going to trust him more. But don't let people tell you that you have no faith, or that you're doing something wrong, or you're committing a sin, as long as you're trying. If you're scared to death because of the pandemic, but you're praying your heart out, you're praying as much as you can, Lord, take away my fear. Help me to trust you more. It's going to take time, ordinarily, for that to happen. As long as you're praying and you're not letting that fear lead to excessive worry. You can't pray and worry at the same time. You can be terrified and pray at the same time, but you can't pray and worry at the same time. Worry is a conscious decision. So I didn't plan to say this, but it just came up when I was reading about Joseph. Joseph was probably afraid when he was trying to run away from Herod. And that's okay, because he listened to God, and that's what really matters. So that's not my main point, but that's what I wanted to share with you. Okay, back to the gospel. When Herod realized that he had been deceived by the Magi, he became furious. He ordered the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had ascertained from the Magi. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, sobbing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be consoled, since they were no more. This is the message. This is what I got out of this today. Herod was a control freak. Herod was threatened. He was insecure. He did not want to hear about another king who might challenge him for his kingdom. So Herod's way of dealing with this was to control the matter. This Jesus was born. He was going to kill all the children, all the boys, 2 years and younger, to make sure he got them. And guess what? He didn't get him. And here's the message for all of us. Herod was trying to control God's will. None of us can do that. We can pray, we can ask God for what we need, what we think we need, but we're not going to be able to force him, to coerce him, to twist his arm into giving us something that's not good for us. It's just not going to happen. And when we try to do that, and we all can try to do that at times, I'm guilty of this. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm not. When we try to twist God's arm and say, I'm just going to keep praying until you give me what I want. There's persistence in prayer is a good thing. But we've always got to be open to the fact that maybe what we're asking for is not the best thing for us. See, God sees the big picture. He wants us to get to heaven. He just doesn't want us to feel good in this life. He wants us to get to heaven. So some of the things we ask for, they're not good for us. So we always have to be open to receiving what's best at the right time. Herod was not. And Herod was a mess. He was a wreck. He was miserable. He was insecure. He was furious. We could see that. We were told that in the gospel passage. It's because he wasn't willing to let God be God and acknowledge the fact that God is in control. God is sovereign. We're not. So nothing can stop God's will from taking place. Nothing. God allows evil to happen only because he allows it to happen. But you can't force God to do something. And when we try to do that, we make ourselves miserable. That's the message, I think, that I'm hearing out of this. And I have a feeling you might be too. So let's look at Herod and not imitate him. Let's look at him and recognize what happens when we try to control God, when we try to make ourselves God. Herod thought he was God. He wasn't. It didn't work. All that work, all those that innocent bloodshed, and Jesus still remained alive. There's a lesson for us. Pray, ask for what you need, but always be open to God's will. Don't try to change him. And when you do that, when you surrender, your will be done, that's when you're going to find peace. All right, so that's my message for you today. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening. I really do appreciate it. Let me know what you think. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. If you're able to send a donation my way, I really could use it. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Have a wonderful day. God willing, you know the deal. I expect to be back here with you tomorrow. Have a great night. Talk to you soon. God bless you.